Let's turn over to Hebrews. And Lord willing, I think we're in the... I've got to get used to this, marking where we are when we get into mid-chapters. But I think we're somewhere in the fourth chapter here, and I believe it's somewhere around the 11th or 12th verse. But again, just a recap on Hebrews. Again, Paul speaking to saved Jews, his kinsmen, and what a great love as we're finding out again and again that he had for his kinsmen and that he has for us. And again, I think we're starting to step in as a people into that love of God. And it's such a precious thing where we are concerned with one another and our race, and that we are, by the grace of God, encouraging one another on down this race course. But in chapter one, again, we saw that he presented Christ better than the prophets. Chapter two, we see that Christ was made the captain of our salvation. That Christ is the sacrifice and the one that made us whole and reconciled us to God. Chapter three, we saw that Christ was made better than Moses. Chapter four, we've been reading about that there is a better rest. And again, as in Nita's prayer, I'm so thankful I've been able to partake in this better that we are in and privileged to be in this time, that we are partakers of the better. And by the grace of God, I think we can be partakers of the best. Amen? Amen. So let's, I think we'll start in Hebrews. We'll pick up in verse 9. And I'll just comment, and then I think we'll start in at somewhere around 11 here on some commentary. But it says in verse 9, there remaineth a rest, therefore a rest to the people of God. And again, us as children of God, as ones that are saved, there truly is a rest. There's a perfect peace that we can enter into as his people. And the key that we start to find that in is in verse 10, for it says, for he that is entered into his rest, that's the Lord's, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from him, from his. And this rest or peace is by faith, as we're finding out here. This is grace. This is resting in belief. Because when we're in unbelief, we do not rest. And by the grace of God, we see that this truly is the grace of God, ceasing from ourselves in order to enter in and partake of the same rest that God has. The same rest that God has when he looks at his son at the end of his creation. I mean, I just thought that was so amazing how the Lord just so expounded on that, at least to me, which was that we can enter into God's rest. To know that it's good, to know that it's finished, to know that it's perfect. When we start to see that and enter in and partake with that, things start to be pretty trivial. The things that seem to be so great and pressing in our lives become something that's calm. It doesn't mean that much because there's perfect peace in me. It's so awesome. How could you ever even explain that? How could you ever exhaust that? Like Scott said, how could we ever get tired talking about the grace of God? Praise you. Praise you. Praise you, Jesus. And that's our growth. I mean, you think about it. People that don't want to hear about the grace of God or take it for granted or something of that nature. It needs to be all over our lives in order for us to grow up into these things that he's talking about here. But it says, let us labor in the 11th verse. Again, how ironic, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Works, not ceasing from ourselves, will take us into non-rest. It takes us into unbelief. But by the grace of God, the labor that he's asking us to have here is faith. It's just faith. Believe me. Trust me for it. Allow me to have it. Completely let go and let God. We've heard that over and over, but it's so true. And it was just so profound in studying this and being back, whether it's at my home or in this office and thinking about it. Lord, it's so clear. It's just like we talked about Brother Hill saying, okay, the promised land's right there at the glass. Here's the last part of the path. It's just as clear as to say, Jesse, where are you standing? Are you standing in unbelief or are you standing in belief? And it's And it's just that step. It's that step that He's calling out to us that we're going to read about, Lord willing, tonight, which is the step of going boldly into the throne of grace. It's the moment I say, Jesus, with an open heart, in belief, and saying, take me into that throne room. Give it to me. The riches are there. And it's just in that moment. But on the same token, I can be standing just on the other side in unbelief and not seizing the promises that God wants to have for my life. Praise Him. Verse 12. Here we go. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Quick. That first word there, it's quick. It means alive. It means fiery. Easily stirred. Expert. Superior. Intelligence. And on and on and on. And aren't you thankful that's your Jesus? That's your word. That's what became flesh and dwelt among us. This is what's going to grow us up. This is what's for you. This is what, by the grace of God, we can wield in our lives. Awesome. And powerful. It's energetic. It's influential. I thought of this when it talks about energetic and powerful. They always thought that... Well, there's a theory, I believe it was Einstein that had it, that things increase at a decreasing rate. They increase at a decreasing rate. So the older we go get, the slower we get, you know. Kind of happens that way, I guess, naturally speaking, but it wasn't the best example. Sorry to some of you, but I'm actually kind of getting there anyways. Guys, I just don't have the speed I had when I was 20. But you increase at a decreasing rate. But what happened was when they sent that Hubble telescope up there and they found out that there were 50 billion, jillion, trillion galaxies out there and it's expanding. But it's not just expanding. It's expanding at an increasing rate. It's expanding at an increasing rate. I just thought that was so marvelous. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about our pastor, precious Brother Hill. His life was increasing at an increasing rate. He wasn't slowing down. The Word of God was getting more and more powerful. And the moment that He stepped into glory, it was increasing at infinite rate. It never ceased. It got more and more and more. And that's how alive and how powerful and how awesome and how energetic that this Word is. To lift us up into that plane of knowing that Christ, You are the power. And that Word can go in me. And it can give me that same power. It's not a feeling. It's beyond feeling. It's knowing. It's knowing the truth working in us. Hallelujah. The Word shows in a life the evidence of the real spiritual. You think about it. The ones that are really spiritual, the Word comes out of that life. It's not just carrying around a Bible. It's not just acting religious. It's the Word of God working effectually in a life. That shows the Word in somebody. When the Word is delivered in the Holy Spirit, in spirit and truth, the Word convinces powerfully. The Word converts powerfully. And in this text, the Word comforts powerfully. So you think about that. That's what the Holy Spirit is. He's the comforter. In spirit and in truth. You have problems in your life. You have issues. You have things that you need to have solved. It's spirit and truth. That Holy Spirit, again, think of how the pattern is woven in our lives and how the Word of God is so perfect. Dwelling in the Spirit. You may be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's wonderful. That's a step. But now dwell. Have the Spirit, by the grace of God, dwell in your life. Dwell with the teacher. Dwell with the comforter. These are when these things can become real to us. See, this is when the human spirit is controlled by the Spirit of God. The Word can actually grab us. It seized me. It really has. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm saying. When you get into the Word of God, it just takes over you. It grabs you. There's nothing like it. It cuts to the heart. It does. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. The other thing in this, though, is it even cuts to the heart of a sinner. And I wanted you to look at this because in chapter 6, by the grace of God, we're going to get through verses 4 to 6. Not tonight. Not doing the speed method. But we're going to get there, Lord willing. And I think what we're going to read here is so appropriate for that. But this is how the Word of God can cut to the heart. So let's turn to Acts 7. Chapter 7, verse 54. And this is Stephen. And this is when he's before those, including Saul at that time, who becomes Paul, that are going to stone him. But in 7, verse 54, it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. These are those Jews. And they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. If you turn back even a chapter earlier in the 15th verse, they saw him. These Jews saw him. The high priest saw him and his face as it had been an angel in chapter 6, verse 15. They saw, they heard, they witnessed. I'll give you a little glimpse of 4 through 6. They tasted. But they didn't enter in. They didn't believe. There's a difference. They didn't believe. And that's what it's talking about here. You can become enlightened, and they were enlightened. They couldn't deny. Those Jews that put Christ on the cross, we put him on the cross, but that really put him on the cross, they're those ones that called out for him to be put on the cross. They knew that he rose again. They paid the Roman soldiers. They were enlightened, but they didn't believe. Now, that can be the same with us too, as a Christian. Now, we believe it. We believe that he died for us. But what about the promises? Are we just going to be enlightened to the promises? Are we going to believe the promises? Are we going to live the promises? This sword cuts both ways in our lives. Hallelujah. It cuts the non-believer, but it also cuts the Christian. It says that, this is Brother Copley, it says, it gets in where no other sword can get. And it's true. When this thing's wielded, and I love that, you can wield a sword, and that means we've got to be yielded to have it wielded in our lives, and it's true. But when it's wielded, it can cut the proud to humble. It can cut ignorance to understanding. It can cut rebellion to willing. And it can cut the carnal to grace. That's what the Word of God can do. That's what the Word of God wants to do in our lives. It wants to make us complete. And then it goes on to say, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It discerns, it makes clear, it judges the thoughts, the intent of the heart to see if it's in harmony with God. Are you yielded to God? Are you yielding to His will? This is what the Word of God can do. Turn to Psalm 139:23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. Again, the Word finds us out, doesn't it? As we've talked about many times through this study, it can be up here, but it needs to be in our heart. We can have a head knowledge, but it's not going to work effectually. As in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, it says that the Word of God works effectually in them that what? That believe. That believe. Over and over and over. If we believe. It makes me feel so guilty sometimes. As I sit there and fret. As I sit there and worry. than sorrow and pity or all the different ones and things that we can think of, when He says, "Son, I want you to live the victory. I don't want you to live that kind of stuff. You're not going to grow over there. Come over here into My throne room." Hallelujah. See, you can know it, but if we don't believe it, it'll never work in our lives. You need to take hold of this for your own. And I think how precious. We as a people, having the wonderful, incredible pastor that we've had for so many years, have had God say, "Living Waters, you here, you got to take it for your own now. What you going to do with it?" I appreciated speaking with Brother McLam today. It's true. We kind of looked at each other and said, "Well, where else are we going to go?" Kind of felt like the disciples, and it was true. What else are we going to do? This is what we know. And you know it's wonderful what we know. And I think it's precious to see, because I know in my life and I can see in the lives of the ones here. Brother Hill pointed us to Christ. Okay? By the grace of God, we're just going to keep focusing on Christ. See, when we look up, we're not going to look around and panic. We're going to keep looking up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, this word judges the reward. It judges the state of the heart. Verse 13. "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." I learned that as a little kid. I always remember I thought I could do some things. Nope, nobody's seen me do this. Jesus knew me way back then, and He convicted me way back then. I always used to kind of get mad. I said, "Gosh, Lord, I can't have any fun. You're always making me feel bad." And then finally, as I got a little bit more mature, I said, "Thank you, Lord. You kept me from a lot of stuff that I didn't need to get myself into." So remember that. Young people, have a tender heart. Middle people, have a tender heart. Older people, I'll shut my eyes, have a tender heart. Okay? All the way through. Allow that grace just to work effectually in us. Hallelujah. But Revelation 2:23. Just so many things that we could go to, so many places, but Revelation 2:23, again, this is to Thyatira, and these are not believers, but look what it says here. "Think if you were living in this, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am He which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." He searches the reins and the hearts. He's going to search the reins and the heart of everybody. He's searching our reins and heart to see how much we love Him right now for reward. See, we're not going to be judged by our works of this work. That work is, they're not going to get anything for that except condemnation and damnation. He's searching us again for His reward. But in this, He searches the reins of the heart. There's nothing hid from Him. But tonight, instead of thinking of that eye watching you, that I remember speaking with Neve's little boys. They opened that dollar bill and they were showing me all that stuff about it. And that eye that's in that triangle, that eye that's watching you in judgment, condemnation. And that's how most people see God. They really do. But see, we see Him in love, as we talked about. We see Him as watching over us. See, He watches over us. Now think about that with one another. When we look at our brother and sister in Christ, are we looking at them to judge them? Are we looking at, "Oh, what you did"? Or am I in love looking over at you and saying, "I love you. I want to pray for you. I care about what's going on. I want God's best for you." And it's not just me for you. It's you for me and for one another. That's the love of God. This is what can transpire in our life. This is what He's encouraging us as a people onto tonight. He knows the hair on our head. He knows our thought afar off. He knows my downsetting and uprising. And He watches over me. And He loves me and He protects me. No matter what's going on. No matter even what I think. There's sometimes during the day, even today a little bit, I was thinking, "Well, Lord, are You really watching over me? How could that be happening?" No, You really watch over me. You're taking me on. Hallelujah. Believing that He's for us. That He's not judging us there to condemn us, but again, that He's judging us for a reward, wanting to bestow everything, everything on us. 14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast. This is the greatest of all high priests, and we're going to get into that in chapter 5. Lord willing, we got a better priest. We're getting a better everything. It's better and better and better. Now we got the better priest coming, and here's the sign of it. But this is the greatest of all high priests, having went into the heavens. Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. Let's turn there. That's Ephesians 1, 17 through 23. It says that the God of our Lord, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Think of all these gifts. I appreciate this. This is one of the most memorable sermons I think I ever, one of the most that our pastor ever gave us. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward, who what? Who believe. Man, if you don't believe it, you're never going to receive it. You're never going to get it. You're never going to live in it. You're never going to dwell in it. You're not going to be able to walk around in it. And you're never going to live it on the other side. You have to start living your inheritance now. Know it now. I get into so many other things right now. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Here's where we're at. And he set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And can you imagine what's to come? And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And that's who loves you. That's who's courting you. I mean, can you imagine that? That's who wants you to rule and reign right with him. This one right here. Look at that title. You don't feel special? You ain't ever going to feel special. Know how special you are. Hallelujah. That he's the head over us, that into the presence of God for our intercession. That's Hebrews 7:25. And I'll just read these. You might write these down. We're going to get to them, Lord willing, if Jesus tarry. Wherefore, he is able to also save them to the uttermost that come unto him, unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. If you go to 9:24, look what he's doing for you right now. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. See, he's not in, you know, people think that he's, you know, they'll make things. They'll make a pretty temple, or they'll make a pretty, oh, Jesus is dwelling there. No, he dwells in you. Hallelujah. But look where he is. But into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God. Not just to appear in the presence of God, for us, for you, for me. That's why he ascended. For you, for me. That's why he died. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In heaven before God for us, that we would know how important we are to him. Christ will not be complete without his bride. By the grace of God, we can enter into that. It's not that we're there, that we may attain. We're almost there. I really believe we're almost there. Let us have this stuff slip. Oh, hallelujah. The investment that he has put in us. He's put everything in you, man. Everything. Everything. Is that awesome? Just remember what we just read in Ephesians. That's who just put everything in you. That we might merely just get a glimpse of this love that he has for us. That should set our hearts on fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But it goes on to say, let us hold, in that verse, let us hold fast our profession or confession. And that is that we're Christians, that our citizenship is in heaven, that we wouldn't be ashamed. Remember, it said in the third chapter, it said that he's not ashamed to call us his brethren. Those who aren't ashamed to call him their Lord. Huh? Don't be ashamed of him. This world, it's getting awful. They're talking about, and I'm not saying I agree with everything, but I appreciate that they're Christians and different things. But we had some senators and different things say even today that the most grave harm that we've had in this country is from the religious right. Okay? No, they're not dwelling in the deep things of God and things of that nature, but they love the Lord. Christianity is something that's getting to be pushed out. It's bad. It's taboo. You know? It really is the worst thing. The Air Force Academy, they had a thing on that as well, too. About, well, we don't want you witnessing to any of the cadets. What happened to In God We Trust? What was this country built on? I'm not trying to be patriotic. I'm just saying, what was it built on? Why do you think we are so blessed? God blessed America. He did. And it's about over in a lot of ways. Don't let that scare you, young people. Don't let that scare you, anybody. It's about time. Our time's about to come. But that's what we're stepping into as a world, as a nation, that what we believe is wrong, that we can talk about any other religion, that we can talk about any other belief, but when I start to mention the name of Jesus, it cuts like a sword. And like a sword that's more than any two-edged sword, more sharp than any two-edged sword, more powerful. You see, it just cuts to the heart. I mentioned the name of Jesus, it's going to get a response. It's going to get a response. It's either going to be Jesus and my heart just jumps. Doesn't your heart, I mean, really, Jesus, my heart just jumps. To them, you mention Jesus and it's like, ugh, they gnash their teeth. It's going on today. But remember, it's not the people. It's not the people. It's principalities. It's spiritual wickedness in high places. We love the people. You love them. Don't hate. Don't hate. God so loved the world. God so loved the world. If I love, it may reach. If I hate, it's just going to defeat it. Okay? So much in this. Hallelujah. But our heritage is in Him. Again, as talking this last Sunday, what defines you? Is it your work? Is it your kids? Is it all of these different things? I hope not. It's Christ. I'm a Christian. My citizenship's in heaven. I've always heard so many times, well, the man has to be defined in his work. That's why man has so many problems when they retire. They can't find things to do. Just love Jesus. Let Him define you. That's what He is after. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the same thing as in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, verse 13, and verse 14. You all know where I'm going with this. Stand. Your profession. It's not just talk the talk, but it's walking the walk, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? It's walking the walk. Do you stand for the things of God? Everywhere, not just here. It's precious, wonderful. Do you stand at home? What do your children see? What does your wife see? What does your husband see? Do you stand for the things of God in your home? What about work? What about with your friends? Do you play Christian on Sunday, Wednesday night, or Friday? And then on Saturday, I'm Sammy Sinner. I'm back out in the world. No. Stand. Stand in it. Live in it. Dwell in it. Walk in it. Make it your own. He'll bring you friends. He will. He'll bring you loved ones. And more importantly, He'll be your friend.
Amen.
You'll learn that it's just Him. Just Jesus. Is that Jesus in me? I love that. Hallelujah. Love that song. But what else could we do? Where else could we go? You are the Christ, the way, the truth, and the life. Verse 15. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. True victory in Christ. Hallelujah. Completeness. When we rest in this, there's victory. There's no more is a high priest that's sinful. We're going to get into that, Lord willing, in chapter 5. That Aaron priesthood, those sinful priests that went before, all that went before him, they were weak, they were law-ridden, they were failures, never offering the perfect sacrifice. But as our pastor pointed out so many times in those verses, but Jesus. But Jesus. That means basically, then came Jesus. There's Jesus. Hallelujah. He's there. And as in 2:17 and 18 that we already read, he was made like us. So to conquer, so to obtain victory, to comfort us in everything that we'd ever face. Because he's been there. He's been there. See, I don't know what you've gone through in a sense, really. And you don't know what I've gone through. And we're going through these things. I can pray for you. I can think. And I can, by the grace of God, he gives me such love and compassion. But only Christ can enter that place. Only Christ can enter that place for you that can give you the comfort via the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in your life can give you comfort beyond. And why? Think about it again. Why the Holy Spirit? So you could be led into all truth. If you're led into all this and you believe all this, you're going to be awful pleasing to God, aren't you? There's going to be a lot of faith built up in there. Then his precious brother McLam had to remind me again. That means he's got to be bringing it on too, because he's got to exercise that faith, don't he? Amen. I love you, brother. It's true. But I want to step out boldly. I don't want to step out fearfully. Okay, Lord, I know all this truth. We've got to exercise it now. It's true. Those are trials. That's the beautiful thing. He's not going to marry a baby. He's not going to do it. Thinking about, Lord willing, this Sunday morning, Lord willing, about that dress, how he makes you fit the dress. You're skinny, you're malnutritious, you ain't going to fit that dress. If there is ever a time for a bride to be fat, this is... Okay. I don't know what I'm getting myself into, but this is the time for the fat bride, I'll tell you. Amen. She's going to fit that dress because she's going to be full of grace. And let me tell you, there's a beauty in her. She may not be beholden beauty to you, but to Christ, she's amazing. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 15. But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, he protects us before and behind. 24/7, if we'll believe. Now, here's the conclusion of this rest. You want rest? Here it is. All in of all this chapter, this is it. By the grace of God, we're going to be able to enter divine fellowship and rest in his confidence. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, this was God's throne of brass for a long time, and it was stern. It was. But then came Jesus, and it became a throne of grace. Hallelujah. Through Christ. Praise God. See, this is a life when we're completely dependent on him for everything. Here's the answer. Come boldly. Just like we talked about last Sunday. I will go. Where are you going? I just want to go to the throne room. I don't know about you. And more as I go on, he's got me going right back to that throne room. Because I need grace. I need mercy. And he's starting to teach me more and more as you go on with him, how needy you really are. How incomplete we are without him. How weak we are without him. As Paul so eloquently said, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. I'm glorying in my infirmities. Now, as I've said, I'm telling you truthfully, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. But I can feel the nudging. I'm glad he hadn't shoved me in there. I don't know what I would do. Sometimes I feel like I've been put. But I know that he's nudging. But boldly, stake your claim to your inheritance now. It didn't say, come in a while, come in a moment, come sometime. Come boldly. That's an urgent calling, that come. It was just like Eliezer wooing her. It wasn't, well, I need 10 days. I need to go back and visit with my family. Oh, no, 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 no. My master needs you now. He's not waiting around. He needs you now. Well, it's not the appointed time yet. I need a little more. No, 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 no. Now. And that's for you. And that's for me. Come boldly now. Get in there now. Get in there right now. By the grace of God, we're there right now. We've prayed. Two or more are gathered in my name. I'm in the midst of you also. Well, you know what? We are taken right into the throne room. Hallelujah. No, we're there. Praise God. People think we're nuts. I know I'm crazy. I'm crazy about Jesus. Hallelujah. But there's no hesitation. And when you believe, it's immediate. We fearlessly and confidently can come to the Father through Christ. I'm with my family. With my Father. I don't mean any disrespect, but it's like Dad. I mean it. Such respect, such awesome, but such comfort in that. That's my Father. I'm His Son. I am His Son. I am His Son. You are His Son. I'm His Son. Praise God. And you know, it's new every day. I mean, it is. But then there's just these moments that He's got His arms all over me. And He says, because you loved my Son, I'm loving you just the same way. I've adopted you. I've brought you in. Thank you, Jesus. And to what has He brought us in? He's brought us into grace. That's what He's brought us into. Whether you want to go there or not as a Christian, once you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you had to go into grace. Because that's the only way you got it. That's the only way you got salvation. Is you may have been the legalist guy ever bit after that. But you still, if you were saved, you had grace. And that God just doesn't zap you down in your own self-righteousness right now. You are living grace, believe it or not, you are. Because He still gives it to you no matter if you deserve it or not. Because it's unmerited. But you're not going to grow as a Christian unless you get it in your life. Unless you realize that if you don't cease from your own works, you're never going to rest. And the only time I can really rest, I was thinking of my kids. Did you know when kids and all of us, really, the most time that we grow? When you're in bed sleeping. When we're out working, we actually shrink. The biggest you ever are is when you're asleep, when you wake up from your sleep. Your cells grow, they repair, they do all those types of things. It's in rest. It's in grace. It's not going to happen when I'm at busy doing nothing. Romans 3:24, and I'll just give you these verses. It says, 3:24, justified freely by His grace through Christ. It's free. It's free. Everything's free. 1 Corinthians 2:12, that we might know things freely given from God. Even to know anything from Him, to receive teaching from the Holy Spirit, it's given freely from God. Ephesians 1:6, the glory of grace made us accepted in the Beloved. The glory of His unmerited favor, His unmerited gift, His gift of love, His gift that was never earned. That we were accepted in the Beloved. See, we belong there. When we don't go there, we're in the wrong place. Your citizenship is in heaven. You belong in that rest. That's what's so awkward to me. Is I know my flesh doesn't want to stay there. But I'm a new creation. And if I'm living truly what I really am by the grace of God, I need to be there. I need to be dwelling in that. Resting in that. Hallelujah. In belief. To obtain what? Grace to receive and claim mercy. Hallelujah. mercy to pardon from all sin. We know that we've been forgiven. But you know what? We're going to mess up too. But to remind us again, son, it's gone. I know you made a mistake. Okay? I can't remember what it is. Matter of fact, I forgot it as he's scratching his head. But he removed it as far as the east is from the west. He threw it into the sea of forgetfulness. But see, we have to enter into his rest to know that that's what we are. When I stand before him, I'm justified. And the only way I could ever stand before him is if I were justified. As our pastor said over and over again, just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Not because of anything I did, but because of his unmerited love for me. Oh my. Marvelous, marvelous. I am a son of God. 1 Peter 4:8. Love covers a multitude of sins. And on and on and on and on. His grace is sufficient. Your sins couldn't wear it out. But live the abundant grace, which is Him in you, that causes you to will and to do of His good pleasure. That's the growing up part. Become more like Him. Victory. Overcomer. Okay, we're going to overcome those things by His grace in our life. Grace to purify our souls. Grace for growth. Grace that is sufficient. Grace that is always present. Grace, no matter what we think, that's always on time. Think about that. It's always on time. I know I've had my tribulation in life. And I know I get it. Patience. 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 But grace that's always victorious. Grace that's always meeting every need. Grace for whether it's forgiveness. Because we need to be forgiven. Hallelujah. And we are forgiven. But grace that we could even forgive ourselves. Have you thought about that? See, again, naturally, we want to step back into condemnation. And he says, Romans 8:1. There's therefore now no condemnation to me. I'm in Jesus. I walk in love because of His love. Because I see His love. That's when I know by the grace of God that He delivers me from that. Grace for encouragement. Always in love. Always in love. It's a loving hand. It's encouraging. Hallelujah. It provides the perfect love that gives perfect rest. One last thought on this, and then we'll close. I wrote this down here. We should come freely. Freely. With liberty. But boldly. Freely, liberty, boldly. And humility, right? And humbleness, because we didn't deserve it. So when you really go there to get everything that you could get, remember it says, humble yourself before God? Well, you're going to be before God at that time. I'm not in there thinking, oh, well, Jesus, you saved me from everything. And that's not the spirit. That's not meekness. That's not humility. That's not something that He's going to bless. Humility. Lord, man, I am so thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you. Everything about it. Everything about my life. Where I've come, what you've taken me out of. Being raised in this place. Being able to come to a place like this. To know what we know. To be able to see deeper things of God. That's thankfulness. Hallelujah. Because we can speak and express freely in faith. Freely in faith. Freely in the liberty of God. And talk to Him face to face. You really can. I mean, we don't see Him, but He's right there. It's the same thing. The Bible says it's just like a glass darkly, but He's right there. You may not be able to see Him with these, but see Him with this. Know that you're in the throne room. Say, Lord, give me the vision of that throne room. Let me see you. Let me see you here. It's not here. I just want to see you here. Hallelujah. That we're accepted beyond anything in His love because He has reconciled us to God. God's my Father. God's my Father. I'm His Son. I hope I just go to bed just singing that God's my Father and I'm His Son. Hallelujah. And just think, we've been invited into this mercy seat, haven't we? Hallelujah. Where grace reigns, where the love of God's poured on us. As the Word of God said, we have now entered in by Him into the Holy of Holies. You are in the name of Jesus, you're in the presence of the King. Isn't that awesome? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, again for this study. We thank you for your precious presence, Lord. You're just amazing, Lord. You're just absolutely amazing. Words couldn't express, but love in our hearts, Lord, you know it. You've given it. Your Holy Spirit has so shed it abroad there. Help us to believe these things, Lord. Help us to live it. Help us to have the fruit produced in our lives through you. In Jesus' name, amen.